the guilt that stays with us and makes us act in ways that are not helpful, not wrong, is the unhelpful kind of guilt, right? For example, what really happens when we feel guilty, right? So say we weren't present when the child was eating, right? And someone else had to feed the child. And the parent can instantly start feeling guilty about, oh, I wasn't even there. I missed the food time. What happens as a result of which is, two types of behaviors can happen. One is the parent overcompensates by feeding the child his favorite thing now, which is either a chocolate or something cheese or a pasta, because achhi cheez ab mummy khila rahi hai ya papa khila. And when they overcompensate, the child learns to understand that love is equal to love plus extra, basically. Basic love is mummy khana khila rahi hai. But abhi mummy khana nahi khilati to mummy pyar jatane ke liye favorite khana khilati. So the child learns that love is equal to favorite khana only. Okay. Now the next time when mama is feeding regular food, the child doesn't feel as loved because you've taught the child to understand love plus extra, right? When the child doesn't feel loved, the child will express it in ways by either crying, by not talking, or by vocalizing that aapne to ye bhi nahi ki, aap to the bhi nahi, aapne ye, no, all of those things. And as a result, you will feel more guilty. And now you are stuck in the guilt cycle.
Hi, welcome to Partners in Upbringing. I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs, and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey.
I had a stressful day at work today and ended up taking out all my frustrations on the kids. And now I'm feeling so terrible about it.
My daughter never gets ready on time unless I scream at her and really push her. I always feel sad about starting her day like this on this note, but I can't help it.
Let me order some cupcakes today. I'm sure the kids will be happy and forget about all the arguments we had last time.
Every time I go on a business trip, I make sure I buy something for the kids. After all, I have to make up for the time that I did not spend with them.
Even if I am out at a party with a glass in my hand, I cannot enjoy it. Because in my mind, I am thinking about home and about the kids.
We often feel we are not enough. Whether we are a full-time working parent or not, we all go through the same. But guess what? The fact is, parental guilt is natural but unproductive. Now we know that it's better said than done. As parents, it's really difficult to deal with the guilt trips we encounter every single day and put ourselves through it without realizing that it's of no use. Feeling guilty compels us to adapt to unhealthy parenting styles, like overcompensating towards our children's needs. And most of the times, it is materialistic. We also end up blaming ourselves and depriving ourselves of the things that we really like doing or want to do. And sometimes, kids also take advantage and they emotionally blackmail us to get things done their way.
So in today's episode, we'll be discussing where does this guilt originate from? Why do we feel it so strongly and how to keep it at bay? And to help us get all these answers, today we've got with us a very young and dynamic guest, Barkha Nayak. Barkha is a master's in psychology. She's a therapist, a trainer, a mental health advocate, trained in REBT and AEI from New York. And she is the founder of Manasparsh, a counseling center in Nagpur, India, that provides therapy, career guidance, life skills training, support groups, and training in psychology.
But before we dive into today's episode, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude for your unwavering love and support. It's because of you wonderful listeners we could reach the number one position in the parenting category in Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for being a vital part of our journey.
Hi Barkha, welcome to Partners in Upbringing.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here. And I, completely get everything you said in the introduction, because I've heard it like so many times from my clients, my sisters who are mothers, right, and friends who are parents. So, really think this is a very important topic we're touching upon.
Yes, everybody combats it on a daily basis sometimes. The question I would like to start with is, where does this really originate from? Why do we feel guilty?
Right. That is a very important question, right? And the answer is extremely complex. What I mean by that, there are probably 1,000 places where the guilt originates from, right? But to put it all in a nutshell, I think a good idea to understand it is, guilt is like a plant. Plants, when they grow, they need a lot of conditions for it to grow. And guilt is exactly like that, okay? So the seed of guilt is basically in humans, right? It is a human emotion. A lot of other animals also feel it. It's a basic emotion that we can't really change because it's in our brain chemistry. All right. So as long as we continue to be humans and don't turn into cyborgs or robots, guilt is going to be there because the seed of guilt exists in our genetics. All right. It, like a plant needs soil and water and, air and sun. Even guilt needs a lot of those things. Okay. So the seed exists, but the soil is literally our own personal experiences. The soil where we grew, right? So when we observe our moms, our dads, when you observe parental styles, right? The kind of environment we grew in and our personal experiences, right? Our values, what we think, the thoughts that have been imbibed in us. I think they kind of form a fertile ground, okay? And that creates a lot of good soil for guilt to grow, right? To add on to this, it's not just, the genetics and this environment or upbringing or values that we have gone through, but even the social structures of our society, the media influences that we get, right? They are all kind of adding to it. So they kind of make a perfect pot to contain the guilt also, where it can grow really fast, okay? For example, think of all Bollywood movies that you have seen, right? How has the mother been portrayed in each one of them? All right. And the mother is always shown as the
sacrificing one.
The queen of sacrifice, right? That she's supposed to be doing that. And we have learned that. To be honest, guys, I don't think it's just the media, right? I have seen my mom do it. All right. I have seen my mom decide to not eat something because she thought it would be less. Now, whether I eat it later or I throw it later, right? She will end up doing that sacrifice, because if she didn't, I'm sure she would feel guilty. Okay. So I think all of these things kind of make the perfect conditions for guilt to grow. Okay. But now think about it. Even if I put a seed in the soil and just give it sunlight, do you think it will grow into a plant? Or a tree? What does it need?
Somebody needs to water it daily.
Okay, yes, daily. Right? Now, who is watering this guilt for us? Okay.
We our surroundings. Water
this for us. Not really. Our surroundings are the soil, right? Mm. The real gardener of this guilt is we ourselves, okay? So from all of these sources, okay, we have kind of learned to understand and make some values and beliefs about parenting, about how we should be as parents, how we should treat our kids, what things are good, what things are wrong. And now these values and beliefs have become like standards, all right? And these strong standards that we hold ourselves to are literally watering the guilt, okay? So, for example, say my mom never let me go out when I was a child. And I decided as a young child when I am a parent, I will make sure my child never has to beg to go out. So I'm going to give my child the opportunity to go out a lot, right? So I learned that from there. And as a result, I built this idea in my head of how I should be a parent. Everybody has a different idea, okay? And therefore, some people will use some other criteria to judge themselves. But it is our adherence to this criteria, our zid, all right, our, strong commitment to, oh, this is what I have to do, that literally waters this every day, okay? And that's how the guilt really grows, okay? we can't really change experiences and society and what our mother-in-law tells us or what our mother tells us. And mostly moms, okay? Mostly.
Yes. That's what I was going to come to, because the grandparents have such a great attachment to the child that they, if they are not with the child, they want us to be with them as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes they are the ones who are indirectly watering it as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I remember this incident from my childhood, okay? So, I remember going out for dinner with my parents and I saw this big joint family, all right, coming for dinner. And they had a kid and the kid had a nanny, all right, who had come for dinner. And my mom instantly commented, all right, to me, what's the purpose of having a child when you can't even enjoy being with the child all along, right? And I seemed to very strongly believe that, all right? I was very quick to form a judgment about how I don't like when they leave the kid to the nanny, right?
If you are enjoying this conversation, please give us a 5-star rating on the app you're listening to and subscribe to our podcast. Thank you.
Now, 10 years later in my life, I'm seeing all my friends. And of course, I'm a psychologist, so I understand the nitty-gritties of, the little problems. But I'm seeing all my friends and I have zero judgment towards them when they have nannies, right? I have actually greater judgment towards them when they don't find help, because I'm like, guys, you have to live your life, right? So that little incident is ingrained in my head about how my mom made a judgment. And I ended up internalizing it as something I think is good versus bad parenting. Right? Like, that's how we learn.
Yes.
And it just becomes stronger as you experience things, because you keep validating it. Every time you encounter something, see, that is why what I was thinking was right.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
I think, if you don't mind, Barkha, I would just like to tweak what you said. Guilt is not like a plant, actually, but like a weed. And we should just be aware that it is a weed and not nurture it more.
Yeah, I like the that word a lot more, right? Because we have to make sure that it is not to be nurtured. So I think weed is a very good analogy for it, right? Because plants are all things good in our heads, right? So calling it like a weed helps a lot more.
So are you suggesting that guilt is a wrong feeling and we should not feel guilty?
Guilt is not a wrong feeling. It is an emotion that we all experience, right? And therefore, I wouldn't say we can't feel guilty. But the guilt that stays with us and makes us act in ways that are not helpful is the wrong type. Not wrong, is the unhelpful kind of guilt, right? For example, what really happens when we feel guilty, right? So, say we weren't present when the child was eating, right? And the nanny or the dadi or the nani had to feed the child, right? Or someone else had to feed the child. And the parent can instantly start feeling guilty about, oh, I wasn't even there. I missed the food time, right? What happens as a result of which is two types of behaviors can happen, right? One is the parent overcompensates, right? By feeding the child his favorite thing now, which is either a chocolate or something, cheese or a pasta, right? Because achhi cheez ab mummy khila rahi hai ya papa khila rahe hai, right? So they can overcompensate, right? Or and when they overcompensate, the child learns to understand that love is equal to love plus extra, basically. Basic love is mummy khana khila rahi hai. But abhi mummy khana nahi khilati, to mummy pyar jatane ke liye khana, favorite khana khilati. So the child learns that love is equal to favorite khana only. Okay. Now the next time when mamma is feeding regular food, the child doesn't feel as loved because you've taught the child to understand love plus extra, right? When the child doesn't feel loved, the child will express it in ways by either crying, by not talking, or by vocalizing that aapne to ye bhi nahi kiya, aap to the bhi nahi, aapne ye, no, all of those things. And as a result, you will feel more guilty. And now you are stuck in the guilt cycle, right? So guilt, overcompensation, child learns something, you give in to the child doesn't feel it anymore, there is more, vocalization and there is more guilt. Okay. Yes. Now, what happens is there is another way. Okay. So for people who overcompensate, but there is also the kind of guilt where we don't overcompensate, but we feel so bad within ourselves that we avoid the problem at all. to just feel better. So probably we start telling ourselves that theek hai, khana hi to tha, big deal, right? Aisa kuch nahi ho jayega. Whereas in reality, you really want to feed your child or spend that time with your child, right? As a result, guilt can also make parents avoid responsibility just so that they don't feel guilty, right? Mm-hmm. For example, this has happened with me just recently. So I forgot my sister's birthday and I was feeling so guilty that I forgot her birthday. I was like, I should totally call her. But then the idea of calling her and apologizing to her was so distressing that I didn't call her for an entire week. And then it became worse. Now I feel like check the bully. So it became worse. But then of course I overcame it, called her and told her this stupid thing happened. Mm. So, right? But most people don't realize that they are avoiding people, right? They can also start feeling angry towards the other caregivers, okay? Slightly feeling envious or jealous. They can also start feeling insecure of what if they start getting more attached, right? And therefore, avoidance can start happening. Now, when the avoidance is happening, of course, when there is avoidance, you are not doing the things that you want to do. You're giving less and less and less to your child, right? In the ways that you want to genuinely give and the child really wants to receive. So the now the child again learns to learn what? That, oh, not given enough. The child will vocalize again, not given enough, and then guilt again. So what I mean by that is guilt ke karan overcompensation ho ya avoidance ho, it is going to create much greater guilt.
Yes. Mm. I think would these feelings lead to unproductive behavior in other aspects of life as well?
Right. Guilt as an emotion is a very heavy emotion, right? Mm-hmm. It as an emotion is an emotion that kind of drags in our life, okay? So guilt, aaj hui hai cheez, but guilty humko 2 saal baad bhi lag sakta hai. I'll give you a very quick example of my own life, right? So I was sitting with my mother-in-law and, you know, I was talking about her experience of having my husband and everything. And she's like, oh, I was such an impatient person and I used to get so irritated when he would cry. I was so tired after so many hours of labor. The first day he was crying and like first day I hit him, okay, that why don't you, of course not zor se, but a little. And she's like, till today, I have not been able to forgive myself to have hit a newborn child, right? And it's been what, like 35 years? That's not less, okay? And she has literally tried to overcompensate in so many different ways.
So, jab chahiye, tab hum bachchon ko correct bhi nahi kar paate. When it is required.
Yes.
Because we are constantly feeling guilty about that one act that we did some many years back.
Right. So we give in, right? Guilt is heavy. So it, of course, affects our parenting. It affects our ability to check our child, right? The guilt, we can't, but I am responsible for so much wrong. So if my child does one bad mistake, it's not a problem. I am going to cut some slack. Big problem. Okay. This is what happens with parenting, but what happens in our personal life, right? We start liking ourselves lesser and lesser and lesser. It will start affecting your belief and your view of yourself. You will start looking at yourself as incomplete, severely problematic person, right? And this affects your performance, your confidence, your self-image, how you carry yourself, how you talk to people in the long run. At the same time, when a parent starts having this self-talk that I'm a bad parent, shitty person because I did this, it's not that children can't pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
For that matter, I learned my lack of assertiveness from my mother. She never taught me not to stand up for yourself, Barkha. Okay. She, for that matter, always told me that I have not been able to voice my opinion. I want you to be able to do it. And yet, when the time came, I found myself struggling with the problem, right? Mm. Because I saw her internalize it, right? And because I love and admire my mother, I think this is how it is supposed to be. And your child learns to internalize these things. The child learns guilt, okay? The child learns to devalue themselves when they make mistakes, calling themselves, I'm a horrible student, horrible friend, horrible child. They're not, right?
Yes, and that's why this episode, to help everybody overcome their parental guilt and be a more balanced parent, to help their children.
Right, absolutely.
So what do you think are the right strategies or the tools to overcome parental guilt?
I think, as I said, you know, what is actually nurturing the weed is not just the soil and the sun and the pot and the seed, because those are things that we can't really control, right? So instead of blaming the society, blaming other people in the household, let's look inwards and talk about what we are doing to let this guilt grow within us, right? So over here, I'll ask you a question, right? Say there are 1,000 women, all right, who are going through the exact same thing. For example, not able to give time to their child or say it, right? They yelled at the child. Now think and tell me, do you think all 1,000 of them would feel just as guilty as each other?
No, they won't.
No.
It is possible that some of them don't feel guilty really. Okay. Mm. It is possible that some of them actually feel severely guilty. It is also possible that some of them go into this severe anger towards themselves. Okay. It is also possible some of them feel depressed. Okay. What I mean by that is, think and tell me why in the same situation, same environment, different people would feel different levels of guilt and different types of emotions at all.
Because every individual has their own experience, set of experiences and right. mental makeup, mindset.
Brilliant. So these experiences really make up our mental mind, like mental setup, the mindset, right? So what I'm trying to get at it over here is that it is not really the experiences or the environment that causes the guilt, but it is our mindset about the issues that causes the guilt, right? So it's our own thought process, all right? Think of it like this. Say, you know, we are on a beach and there are 2 little kids playing in the water and both the kids see like a huge wave coming at them, right? Think they are like about 8-10 year old. They are identical twins. So they have exact same genetics. They have the same mother, same father, same beach, same sand, same wave coming at them, right? They are both yelling at the top of their voice, right? Can this happen?
Yes.
When you look closely, you realize one of them is actually crying because he's scared. The other one is crying, is laughing because he's excited, right? Now, do you see how in such a situation, even kids that young can have different reactions and emotions, even though they have the same experiences and same parents and same genetics, right? That's because the way they, what they think this wave will do to them, okay, that thought process of what it means actually causes this distress or excitement, okay, and as a result, I think it's our own thought process of what we have done.
In my mind, what I'm thinking is, because it's my mental makeup that I'm feeling more guilty, if that is the message which the listeners get, then they might blame themselves more.
Okay, I'll tell you why this is a very good thing to come to realization. All right. If the guilt was happening because of reasons outside me, this means I am supposed to be feeling guilty for the rest of my life. I have no control over anything outside me. Mm-hmm. When you recognize, no matter what my mom did, no matter what my dad did, no matter how my experiences were, no matter what I have read, learned and seen, how I think about the situation causes the guilt. And therefore, if I learn what I think and if I can change what I think, then I can actually absolve myself of this guilt and indeed, therefore, do a better job as a parent without overcompensating or avoiding my child's needs. Right. So I think this.
So how do we change this mindset? Like,
yes,
you know, how
and that's
do we,
exactly.
because changing yeah. and correcting one's thinking is a huge, a lot of work there.
Absolutely. And therefore, I promise you, you can't correct it in one podcast. Okay.
Exactly. But the fact that to identify that thinking needs to be changed.
Right.
Is also really an important message for the listeners. So that at least it prevents them from that downward spiral, you know, of just getting into that vicious cycle of the guilt.
Absolutely, right. For that matter, when you girls were also giving the introduction, you were voicing out the thoughts really, right? Parents are not saying this out aloud really. It is a thought process that's making them act in that manner. And therefore, it's all a play of thought process. So the fertilizer and water is that thought process. You have to cut that, right?
Right.
But to cut that, you have to identify what the thought process is.
Correct.
Right? Okay. And I'm going to therefore help you with a shortcut over here. Okay, I'm going to help you understand the very common thought processes that indeed cause guilt. Okay, so remember how we spoke about earlier that we take all of these things from society, our experiences, and then we form an idea of what an ideal parent is. All right.
Yeah.
And so say we have an idea, we have a thing about ideal parent. Okay, this is thought process number one, our idea of a parent. I think it's a very problematic idea. Can you think of why it is problematic?
Is it a realistic idea or is it an ideal parent?
Absolutely. Okay. Think of it like this. We all eat chapatis. Okay. But a chapati in my house is very different from a chapati in your house. They have the same ingredients. It is the same chapati. It's going to fill your stomach. And yet we all think that we want a certain kind of chapati that makes us happy. Okay. It's something as simple as that. We all have an idea of what an ideal parent is. But our ideas can differ starkly from each other, right? Yes. And therefore, first question is to ask yourself, what is the standard even? And I bet if I ask any of the parents, what is your idea of a perfect or an ideal parent? They will be able to tell me one, two or three things, okay? And when I ask them, how many of you have not been able to fulfill these? Okay. For example, a basic ideal parent is someone who really loves and cares about their child. Now, how many moms did not fulfill a promise to get the child a gift, do not love or care for their child? They still do. And yet they end up calling themselves like they have fallen from this standard. Okay. So what I'm getting at is, one, we have a standard. Second, there is no universal standard. So can you really even judge yourself on that standard? And third, realistic, as you said rightly, Kalyani, is it a realistic standard? And fourth, chalo maan lo, even if there is a standard, are you really failing that standard? Right?
Are you being really hard upon yourself?
Right. Okay. So the first thing is this standard that we have to make sure is accurate, realistic, right? And what makes a realistic and accurate standard is some kind of flexibility.
Flexibility, absolutely. Many a times parents say that, by 6:30 at least I have to be home with my child so that I get a couple of hours with them. But there will be days when you get delayed, you'll come home at 7:30, 8. And that flexibility is what we should allow ourselves to do.
Right. So, and therefore, you know, what is the standard? Is the standard, does the standard have a basic necessity of coming home at 6:30? Really? So are you telling me every parent who works beyond 6:30 example, right, is a bad parent or a shitty parent, right? So question that standard, okay? And ask yourself, where have you even learned or made this standard? You will recognize that most of this was by yourself. You decide, you know, how much time you should be spending. You decide how much scolding is okay scolding and how much scolding is more scolding. You decide how many snarky comments towards your child are okay. It's all you. So question the standard. I think sabse pehla thing that we have to understand is the standard, right? And the second is this desperate need and commitment to make sure you do not fall from this standard. Okay. It's almost like telling yourself that you absolutely in no way at any cost can make a single tiny mistake in your life.
That gives an idea of, you know, the feeling of being a failure as a parent.
Absolutely.
And so differentiating between failing once and being a failure needs to be understood.
I love that you pointed that out because that's the third thought process, right? So problematic thought process number one is baseless standard that you even can't define, that changes every day, right? Some day there is 6:30, come home. Some day there is make sure you don't give your child cheese twice a week, but the child is not eating, so you decide to give the child more cheese. Okay. And those things can also cause guilt, right? And they are massive reasons, all right? You know, it is, again, I am not paying attention towards my child, right? So what are these standards? Second, don't commit to these standards like this is life or death. All right. Flexibility is important. So telling yourself that it has to be done like this, it needs to be done like this, this is the ultimate thing, right? Is problem number two, thought process number two. And thought process number three, when you fail in this standard, you start telling yourself really mean things like, you're a horrible mom, you will never be a good parent, it was not meant for you, or you're a bad dad, you can't even do this much, right? So the third is not generalizing or overgeneralizing. One mistake in one role of your life where you are a neighbor, where you are a mentor, where you are a wife, sister, person of yourself, right? At the same time, you are so complex, right? So not to make sure one mistake in one role of your life taints all of you. I wonder how that can be.
When you become a parent, child becomes the biggest project of your life. Brilliant. You know, like, and that's why I think it's naturally.
Yes, very good. That's the thought. I see, you know, like this, and everybody knows this. This is the problematic thought process number four, where we are not able to separate our life from our role as a parent. Mm-hmm. Right. And what I mean by that is, yes, your child is the world to you. You will take a bullet for your child. And that is true. Right. But does that mean you, as a person by yourself, you as a person with so many roles, does that mean those things don't matter at all? So when you tell yourself that this means I'm a horrible person or I'm the biggest failure, right? You are really at the same time forgetting what you really are. Your child could be 70% of that life. I'm not saying no. That is again your personal choice. But as long as your child is 99%, there is that 1% which is beyond your child, right? And therefore, even if you make a mistake in 99%, you will still not be able to call yourself a 100% failure. Interestingly, it's never 99 really. Okay, but I am saying, chalo, maan lo 99 bhi hai, toh bhi it can't define you, right? So that's like the problematic thought number four. So I think as long as we are able to keep such thoughts away, right? Problematic thought number five, in that moment when you realize that you have made a mistake, all right? And that mistake can be, you know, anything big or small. My teacher complained about my child that he hit somebody. Okay, have I not been teaching my child not to hit? What am I doing? Where am I going wrong? So the moment you realize you've made a mistake. Now, a lot of parents would end up, you know, jumping to the conclusion and telling themselves that this is like the worst thing on the planet. Isse bura, maine apne bachche ko ye cheez nahi sikhai, isse bura kya ho sakta hai? Please know when I'm saying like this, most of you will laugh because it sounds funny. But tell me we haven't done it.
Oh, of course.
So understand, we are not laughing at the thought process. We are laughing at the, oh yeah, this is not logical, but we do it. Okay. We are laughing at the realization of it. Okay. So that is the thought process number five. Do not let yourself jump to the worst case scenario and tell yourself that if my child hits somebody, it is the worst thing on the planet. Mm-hmm. Now, is it really?
I think all we need to do is we need to acknowledge that we have been working on this, but the child is going to still take time to reach where we want them to reach.
Right. Sometimes not even reach there.
Yes, to be honest. As an optimistic parent, you always keep one day he'll be there.
You're right. So you can definitely tell yourself, I want to do all of these, but take off that excessive pressure. Don't tell yourself, I need to do it. I must do it. I have to do it. Like, oh my God, like this is like the thing. Okay.
Yes. So, and do it every single time. That is what I think.
Right. So talking about solutions, I think a good way to remember this is what I thought of was PQRST. P stands for perfect parent doesn't exist. This is where we talk about standards. No, there are no perfect standards. All
there
these
are
standards
no right are or wrongs.
Yeah, there are no rights or wrongs. There are therefore definitely helpful or unhelpful, right? When I do this, it's not wrong. It is unhelpful. When I do this, it's not right. It is helpful for the upbringing and the parenting strategy, right? So I think get rid of the terms right or wrong, because those moral standards cause a lot of guilt. Therefore, parenting me, I don't think there is right or wrong unless you're doing something unlawful. Yeah. So get rid of this idea of good or bad, right or wrong. Replace it with helpful or unhelpful. So when I actually buy a toy for my child, right? Is it helpful? Is it not helpful? When I beat my child, is it helpful? Is it not helpful? When I compare my child, is it helpful? Is it not helpful? Right? Don't tell yourself it's wrong. It's not wrong.
Thank you. I think that itself, you know, cuts the guilt by 50%, you know, just correcting this right and wrong in your head, that itself.
That's a helpful thing to say.
So true.
And this is like a quick tip I tell everybody, right? Change this word of helpful, right, wrong to helpful, unhelpful, and you will actually find the answers. You will be able to recognize jo aap kar rahe ho, whether it's driving to your own personal goals or not. Because oftentimes, something that you think is wrong can be helpful. Something that you think is right can be unhelpful. Letting your child howl and cry because you don't want to give in to their zid or need. Wrong. You are making your child cry so much.
Cry.
Very helpful as a parenting strategy. Okay. So wrong things can be helpful and right things can be unhelpful. Okay. So protecting your child, right? Okay. Because you are, of course, supposed to be protecting your child. But does that mean your child, you don't let your child make mistakes at all? So constantly protecting your child for everything is actually very unhelpful. Okay.
Yes.
Therefore, replace right or wrong with helpful and unhelpful, because there is no P, perfect parent. All right. Second, Q, question. Question your standard. What is my standard? Is this really even an accurate standard, right? Mm-hmm. Or is this a standard? Who made me think of this standard? Who decides this standard? Oh, I decide. Okay, so if I decide, can the standard change? Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Is it, or is it like a universal standard?
It's like a happy realization. By the way, this is in my control. This is this is me, you know, and not someone else. So I'm to be blamed for having this standard upon myself.
So yeah, if I had set a standard that I'm never going to drink in front of my child and I miss drinking, then I can change the standard and tell myself I can occasionally drink in front of my child as long as I'm not losing control. Right?
Absolutely.
Recognize the reality. Like I said, is it really, when you tell yourself that this is the worst thing that has happened, or isse buri galti to main koi kar hi nahi sakti, ya how did I forget to take stuff for my child, right? Examples. So recognize the reality. Probably ask yourself, is this mistake enough to generalize? What is the reality? Have you done some right things, done some helpful things in the past? Have you always not cared or loved your child, or always forgotten everything about the child? What I mean to say is, when we make mistakes, we end up hyper-focusing those like this on just one mistake that we made. And therefore, not making sure you don't leave touch with the reality. For people who have a lot of guilt, what I tell them to do is, on a daily basis, actually keep a record of what helpful things have you done as a parent today and what unhelpful things you have done. Maintaining this record will literally help you recognize that you are doing both a lot. And therefore, there is no point in telling yourself and believing that you only keep making mistakes in that moment. So this recognition of reality of who you are as a parent, what you do as a parent, how much is actually problematic, how much is not, is very helpful. So R is for recognize the reality. You choose to maintain like a record for this as well, right? S is for, and this is my favorite, stop labeling yourself. Stop telling yourself that you are the worst parent, you are a horrible person, you are a failure, you are a useless father, or you are a very bad mother, right? Because I really wonder whether making one mistake or having one problematic parenting area can make you completely a total failure or a useless person or a horrible parent. Really, I don't think that is a, you know, an accurate generalization. Whether you are indeed a horrible person, change that narrative by reminding yourself, but this one mistake does not make me a horrible or a shitty parent. I am who I am, and I am likely to make mistakes as a human being. And the last is T, okay, which is again one of my favorites. Tell yourself what you will say to a loved one. I think a very helpful question to ask yourself is that if my mom, my best friend, my sister was in the exact same place and she would have made this mistake, would I tell her that she's a horrible, useless mother? No. Why not? Because, you know, they are not. That's it. A good way to think of it is, for example, you know, I told you that incident where my mom made this comment about how this woman has left her child to a nanny and what's the point if you can't enjoy it, right? Now, if I ask myself, if my mom would have left me with a nanny, would I think she's a bad mother? I don't think so. You will be surprised. Mother and child connection is sadly at the same time powerfully very difficult to break. What I mean by that is even kids whose parents are abusive, who have actually hurt them and harmed them, still love their parents. And they still recognize that parents are flawed. But I rarely in therapy also, where I meet all kinds of parents who have so many upbringing issues and parental trauma, even they still have love towards their parents, right? So what I mean to say is probably asking yourself, if your mom did this little thing, would you tell her that she's a useless mother? I don't think many of us would call our moms useless, failure mothers. So in simple words, PQRST, perfect parent doesn't exist, question your standard, recognize the reality, how you're not performing constantly badly as a parent, right? Stop labeling yourself, show some compassion, and tell yourself only those things that you would tell a loved one. Don't tell yourself anything except. I think this can be a good solution to help yourself overcome the guilt, right? But I think what is very important to remember is that at no point have I said that when you are not guilty, you don't hold yourself accountable, right? What I mean by that is something I want to highlight. So when I talk about guilt to a lot of my clients in any regard, they will instantly resist the idea because they'll be like, but if I start saying that, you know, it's okay, I'm just a parent, I can make mistakes, then wouldn't I become casual and careless? And that's when I question them. You're actually worried that you'd become casual. If you are in the first place, can you even become like that? You can't. Okay. Yeah. The second is telling yourself you're not a bad mother or a horrible person does not mean you're telling yourself that you did not make a mistake. It just means that I did something I don't like and therefore I'm going to do better the next time. So hold yourself accountable. Don't beat yourself up and try to encourage yourself to do better the next time.
Definitely. It's such a wide topic, as you had mentioned. But you have done a wonderful job. You've given us so many points on which we can work on ourselves and overcome this guilt and be a more happier parent, which will obviously lead to more happy and confident children.
Thank you so much, Barkha, for the lovely time that you've had spent with us and enlightening us in so many ways.
Yay, I'm happy to be here.
Before signing off, we have a small request. If you like what we do, please subscribe to us on the app you're listening to, give us a 5-star rating and drop us a review. Your small actions make a big difference to us. Please do share our podcast with your friends and family to help them raise happy and confident children. If you'd like to know more about Partners in Upbringing, do visit our website partnersinupbringing.com. We also conduct parenting webinars with experts. So if you would like to organize one exclusively for your school or organization, do drop us a message on Facebook or Instagram at Partners in Upbringing, or you can email us on contact@partnersinupbringing.com. We would love to hear from you. If you have a feedback or a comment or a suggestion, or if you would like us to cover a particular topic on the podcast, please do write to us. Meet you again in the next episode of Partners in Upbringing with another topic and a new expert or an inspiring parent. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and happy parenting. The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.